Welcome to Shouts of Grace with pastor and Bible teacher Steve Pearson of Redemption Hill Church in Eagle Mountain, Utah. At Shouts of Grace, it's our purpose to encourage you to see the Bible as God's source of truth for everyday life and grace as the foundation for a genuine relationship with God. Today, Pastor Steve continues his message in Mark chapter 16 in part two of his sermon titled, Jesus' Resurrection. Here's Pastor Steve.
Listen, you can pursue God on the internet in private, and you can listen to things on the radio, and you can gather your information, and you can talk to your neighbors, and you can have your heart pulled, and you just know, man, okay, I know this isn't true, what I've grabbed onto, and so you're following Jesus, you know, privately, but listen, there's going to come a point where you're going to have to go public with it. You're going to have to open up, and you're going to have to say, I don't believe this, I love him. I don't believe this, I want him. And that is why we talk often at this church that when you come, you're not coming to a church here. We want to push you to the person of Jesus. If you get him, you got life. If you get this church, you may not have life. But with Christ, you do. And so at some point, God's going to open your mouth and fill it. And you're going to have to come out and say, I believe in Jesus of Nazareth. There's no other name given under heaven whereby which a man can be saved. I can't be secret anymore. And you guys, when you get there, that's where freedom is. That's where liberty is. You know, you talk to young kids or young teenagers. They go to church and they believe in God. And then they go to school. And what do? They put God in their locker. Or they hide him deep down in their heart because they don't want to say anything. Why? Because nobody at school believes. Or they're going to look at you like you're weird. You know what? They will. Teenagers, listen. They will. They're not going to talk about him. They're going to think you talking about him is weird until their life becomes wrecked. Until they're thinking about suicide, until their parents are divorced, until, you know, they're used and thrown off to the side and their world is crushed, then they are going to be open to the God that gives you hope. And so I do not believe that Christianity begins when you turn 18 and you graduate and get a diploma. It begins right where you're at. And if you decide you're going to open your mouth as a young person, listen, you're going to stand out. There'll be no turning back. That was these two. So Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus lay Jesus' body to rest. They roll a large stone over the entrance. Another gospel says soldiers are placed there. They're guarding it. This body ain't going anywhere. I want to read to you guys two passages about life after death, okay? And that is what we're talking about when we talk about the resurrection. It's something that is dead coming to life, right? It's not reincarnation. It's not birth into a different form or body. It's coming back alive when something's dead. The first one is in John 5:25, if you're taking notes. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he's granted the Son also to have life in himself. So Jesus is saying here, there's an hour coming, but it's right now. And he talks about this life that comes. And the life that comes, he says, comes when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and they will be given life, right? What is he talking about? He's talking about people that are alive, but they're dead in their trespasses and sins, right? They're stung by the sting of death, by what happened in the garden, and they're laying there dead. And what happens? Jesus speaks to them. The gospel is preached to them, and we're saying there that the hour is coming, and now is, Jesus says, well, they'll hear that voice, and they will come alive. God will give birth, a new birth to their soul, right? But then he goes on, and he says, in verse 28, do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming, but he doesn't say now is, when all who are in the tombs will hear the voice and come out, those who have done good to the resurrection of life and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. I want you to notice in verse 28, Jesus says there's an hour coming still, which is coming in the future. And in verse 25, he says, and this hour that I'm talking about is here. And so clearly, One is speaking about life, which comes to people that are dead in their trespasses and sins in this lifetime, right? When they hear the voice of Christ and they repent. However, the other is speaking about a resurrection that is still in the future, and which comes to all people after this life expires. And it's this resurrection that we're told there are two categories. The first is a resurrection to life, and the second is a resurrection to judgment. I want to read our second passage in a second, which describes the resurrection to life. But before I do, you guys, what is this resurrection to judgment? Right? There's two resurrections, one to life, one to judgment. These resurrections come after life, after this life, right? What is it? Hebrews 9:27 says, it's appointed unto man once to die, then comes judgment. Every single person has been stung by the curse of death, right? For some it comes early, for some it comes later, but it comes for everybody, you guys. In Revelation 20, verse 11, we're introduced to this great white throne judgment that comes when life ends or time ends as you know it. And it says, interestingly there, that he saw a throne, and standing before it were the small and great, right? Everybody who was big, everyone who was small are equal at this throne. And he says, and the books were opened. And so if you can picture, you know, a person standing before the throne of God, books are opened. And then it says, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And it says, and the dead were judged according to the things in the books. And anyone's name not found written in the book of life, it says, experiences this second death or this lake of fire. You guys, picture it this way. Let's say you're born, you're living life, and you're doing good. You go and you get your education, and you got your degrees, and you've got these, you know, things in life, and you get a career, and you're making money, and then you get kids, and you got relationships, and just all this stuff that's great in life, and you're walking, and you're getting older, and you know, you got grandkids, and you got a 401k, and a 401 whatever, and you got all this stuff, and you got great success, right, and you're coming to this door, and as soon as you reach this door, which is called death, you walk through it, and everything is stripped off you when you walk through it. You're naked, and you turn around, and you can't go back through it. Everything you acquired, everything in this life, everything falls off you when you walk through this door. And when you walk through, you got one reality. There's a throne there. Everything is left behind. All you labor for, everything you work for, except this, there's one thing that goes with you. As you walk through this door, one thing from this life goes with you. Your rejection of Jesus Christ follows you on the other side of that door. And when you see the throne, you have the reality of the rejection of Christ in that life. And you can't go back. A parable was given by a man in Luke 16 who tried, oh my gosh, send me back so I could tell my friends that this place exists. And he says, they got the Moses and the law and the prophets. Let them read them. Yeah, no, if somebody comes back from the dead, they'll believe. No, they won't. So you walk through this door, and the only thing with you is your rejection of Jesus Christ. You guys, that is the resurrection to judgment. That's what awaits a person who rejects the Lord in this life. The Bible teaches that when a person leaves this life without having made a decision for Jesus, they step into a judgment which produces a second death, unlike their first death, because it's eternal. Right? You leave life, and now the second death isn't something that you die and you become unconscious. It's not something that you go to sleep. It's an eternal one. It's perpetual. A perpetual death outside the existence of God. You're not in the presence of God. The Bible calls it outer darkness. It's not, you know, we used to, you know, back in the day before I got saved, you know, we used to go and party, and then we talk about, yeah, if I end up hell, man, you'll be with me, Kurt, you'll be with me, Jimmy, and we're just gonna party. We're gonna light that place on fire. No, you're not. You're gonna be by yourself. Do you like being alone in this life? No. Well, you're going to be alone in eternity without Christ. This is no joke. This isn't a party. This isn't something that we just kid around about. I don't know if the pain that's shared in Scripture is actually a lake of fire or if it's just unbelievable pain where the worm dieth not. So this is what a person leaves earth with and steps into eternity when they don't have Christ. There's no such thing as purgatory. There's no such thing as a degree of heaven where you don't get the best and you got to work your way and you can advance and progress. There's no such thing as that. Death is the curtain call. It's the final thing. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews, if today you hear the voice of the Lord, don't harden your heart as they did in the day of provocation. Don't. That's why Proverbs 29:1 says, he was often reproved, stiffens his neck, and then he is cut off suddenly, and that without remedy, that if you don't respond, there comes a point where the heart becomes so hard, there's no cure for it, there's no remedy for it, and you walk through that door with the rejection of Christ as your biggest accomplishment, so to speak, because you were able to escape the Christians and escape the gospel. But what you did is you walked into a certain judgment, a fiery indignation, Hebrews 10 says, that will devour the adversary. That's no joke, man. And so if we're passionate about people coming to Christ, well, there's that preacher again talking about, you know, gloom and doom, and I just want to hear about the, you know, the good things of God. Then great, go buy a book and go to Texas, right? There's plenty of churches there that'll tickle your ears and tell you everything you want to hear, not what you need to hear. If you're in this room and you're not right with Jesus, you need to listen to these words. There is no mercy and grace for you outside the cross when you walk through that door. That is why it is very just urgent that you respond. However, when a person dies having surrendered their life to Jesus in this life, there is said to be a resurrection to life. And what is that? If you have a Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians 15, because before we read this, I want to say that, you guys, when man brought sin into the world, he brought with it its greatest enemy, right? He brought with it its greatest enemy. This enemy would devastate him. This enemy would rob him of the ones that he's loved the most. It would bring nothing but separation. He brought death. That was what came. There was no death prior to sin. That's why the idea of the gap theory, everything being created and then dying, I don't buy it. I don't buy it because it would require death before sin was ever introduced into the world. And we're told that death is a byproduct of sin. And so man did that to himself. He hurt himself. If you've ever lost someone close to you, you know the sting of death. You know how it feels. It crushes you, right? It separates. It causes years and years of hurt. You guys, it's real. And any person who's experienced this will tell you, particularly if the person is close to them, I would never wish this upon anybody. The feeling of loneliness and emptiness and the void of having that person next to you, it's real. And in most cases, you guys, death always brings great sorrow with it. But for the believer in Jesus, you guys, there is 1 Corinthians 15:35. And I want us to read this because this is amazing. This is where we get our hope. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? You foolish person, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. For all For not all flesh is the same, but there is one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, another for fish. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is of one kind, and the glory of the earthly is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for stars differ from stars in glory. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable, what is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the natural, and then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. Verse 50, I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor do the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we all shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on immortality, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying what is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that the Lord, in the Lord, your labor is not in vain. You see, folks, that's beautiful. Using the same death's doorway analogy, you guys, when a Christian walks through death's door and sheds himself of all earthly possession, he immediately walks into victory. His victory is seen because you do walk through with the Lord. You do walk through with the resurrected Jesus. He's alive. And because he's alive and forever lives to make intercession for you, when you walk through and you see him, the reality of your life in Christ on this earth becomes right before your eyes, and one thing becomes clear. Death, where is your sting? Where is it? Grave, where's your victory? Right? You'll blink here. You'll close your eyes here. You'll open them in a millisecond, and you will see death is over. It doesn't have any victory over my soul. It has no sting. It's swallowed up. You guys, I want to close with this incredible future for those who will be resurrected to life after death. Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven. I want you to circle the word new. And a new earth. I want you to circle the word new. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. Listen, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things what? New. Let me tell you about the resurrection of life. It's unlike anything you've ever seen or heard. It's new. It's something that God couldn't explain to you or me. The Bible says, eye isn't seen nor ear heard, nor is it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. God can't share it with you because it's new. We wouldn't even be able to understand it. But he said, I got a new heaven and a new earth, and everything that you know is former. And everything that you encounter will be brand new. So if he says streets, you don't even know what streets are. Streets are, well, the thing you drive on, maybe not there. Whatever it is, I know this. He said, I will be with you. Death will be gone. Mourning will be gone. Crying will be gone, because sin will be gone, and everything in existence will be brand new for you. That is for the resurrection of life. But, verse 8, as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. If you're in God's kingdom, keep going, because your greatest victory is in front of you. Now, I know people hear this and they're like, well, what about the people that I know and love that have passed on? My mom passed on. She passed on, and I think she accepted Christ in the 11th hour, 2 days before she passed. She lived a life of complete debauchery and drunkenness and sin and immorality, and she accepts Christ on her deathbed 2 days before. God's mercy is great, you guys. It's great. And so I believe that I'll see her. She spent the last year of her life in a bed looking at a cross, opening her eyes, going to sleep, looking at the same cross. She couldn't talk. She couldn't tell them to move it. I wonder what conversations God had with her. You see, I don't know where she was at. All I know is that when I shared, she wanted to receive it. So what I'm telling you is you have no idea where your loved ones are at. You can leave that with the Lord, because he's merciful and he's gracious. And you'll torture yourself if you try to figure out where they might be. That's not for you. The secret things belong to the Lord, Deuteronomy says. The things which are revealed belong to us and our families. You can count on this. God is gracious and merciful. That's what you can count on. So if you're a believer, you guys, your greatest victory is in front of you, and the reality of your victory will be seen on that day, man. If you're not surrendered to Jesus this morning, let me just throw a fastball right between your eyes. The perpetual defeat that death has over you is still in front of you. It's still there. And all closing your eyes in this life and opening them up in the next, all that's going to do is usher you into a permanent reality that death is forever for you. And there is no life. And you say, well, I can't believe that. Then don't believe it. But you would be a fool if you didn't. Because here's what you won't get. You won't get a second chance. You won't get to take your last breath and turn around and look through the glass door and go, oh my gosh, I want to go. There's no reentry, man. That's it. So you would be wise to humble yourself in the sight of God, and you will be wise to dump your pride and realize that Jesus died for your sin. And there is no other name given under heaven whereby which a man can be saved. It is Jesus of Nazareth. And you would secure life on this side of death by hearing the words he said in John 5, by hearing his words and receiving life now. Because there is no more chances afterwards. And any church and any organization that tells you you got a second chance after life or a third chance is straight authored from the pit of hell. Because they know if we can get them to that door and get them on the other side without Christ, they have no advocate. They have no advocate with the Father, just their sin.
Thank you for joining us on today's episode of Shouts of Grace with Pastor Steve Pearson. We hope you've been encouraged to see the Bible as God's source of truth for everyday life and grace as the foundation for a genuine relationship with God. If you've been encouraged in your journey following and learning more about Jesus, we would love to hear from you. You can visit us online at shoutsofgraceradio.com. There you can listen to all of our episodes, share them online with your friends, and find out more about Pastor Steve. Shouts of Grace is an outreach of Redemption Hill Church in Eagle Mountain, Utah, and we invite you to attend our Sunday morning gatherings. For location, sermon times, and contact information, check us out at rhutah.church. Thank you again for joining us on today's show. And from all of us here at Shouts of Grace, it is our prayer that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Shouts of Grace is a production of Key Radio.